Hello and welcome to Pokedex Pathfinders, where we explore the Pokedex at a leisurely pace. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
On today's episode, we talk about numbers 86 and 87, the Seal family.
And we rank our top three songs from the Pokemon games on this week's Hypothetical.
Let's get to it. Number 86, it is Seal. It is the Sea Lion Pokemon. All right, what?
Subverted expectations immediately. Seal, not a seal.
Of all the ones that they love to be like, the pigeon Pokemon, the bird, and now they're like, Seal, the sea lion.
Seal, don't even think about it.
It is water type. I don't think we've had a water type Pokemon in a while.
I'm also ashamed to admit that this is not a water ice type. I thought that even Seal was a water ice type.
I also thought it was water ice type. I guess it's just a weird Mandela effect kind of deal.
Yes.
But do you think that they didn't do that because there's really no like wimpy basic ice Pokemon in Gen 1?
Yeah, I think it was ice was too premium for them to give it the ice typing to start.
Like they didn't want to waste ice type on something like this weird sea lion seal. A seal lion, if
Why
you
wasn't
will.
It just called sea lion spelled wrong? Why did it have to be called seal?
S-E-E. Oh, do you see the lion? All right, so normally when I'm looking for information to talk about, I read through every Pokedex entry. And, oh, that's interesting. Oh, wow, that's a over-the-top kind of fact. Oh, wow, I can't believe that Pokemon certainly does that. Seal has the most boring Pokedex entries ever.
I'm glad that you brought up the elephant in the room, or in this case, the sea lion in the room, is that, and I could be over-exaggerating or overstepping on this, but this for me is the first absolutely gimmickless Pokemon that we have seen so far. Literally everyone.
No, wait. There is one gimmick. Its tongue is sticking out.
All right. No, I'm saying if we bring it back to like, I was trying to think of other quote-unquote boring ones, and if you think of your Caterpies and your Spearows or whoever, they still have some sort of scientific thing brought out to the max. Metamorphosizing, being really angry. They have something. Seal has nothing. It is a true seal. It is a sea lion. It is a seal.
Yeah.
And it does have all of the characteristics that a seal has.
Literally every single Pokedex entry, as I was reading through it, I was like, you could plug in an actual seal into this, or sea lion potentially, and it would just work the exact same. We have never come across an entire...
We never got one that is fully gimmickless. It's as if...
It's so unimaginative.
Whatever event occurred in the Pokemon world that turned creatures into Pokemon, like, didn't happen for Seal.
There's a few Pokedex entries where it talks about it can use the horn on its head to punch through the ice. And,
and it's
any
not
other
even
Pokemon,
overly
they would have been like,
exaggerative.
It could punch through 90 feet of ice with no problem.
Yeah, they don't
whatsoever.
Even hit us with it. It breaches hulls of ships regularly. We didn't get anything.
Yeah.
It just uses its horn to break up ice, and it lives in the cold water, similar to real seals.
This is...
We got nothing. It's
so shocking to me that I think a lot of this poke discussion is not going to be specific to the poke, but more in a more meta sense about like Pokemon's relationship to the real world, I guess, and our memory of it, because I would have never thought of Seal as an unimaginative design. It's not forgotten. It kind of stands out to me.
No, and I actually thought that Seal was very cool. And again, this doesn't even detract from me thinking Seal is cool. I'll save that aspect for later.
save it.
But there is just simply nothing behind the design of this Pokemon other than its original source material.
Real quick with talking about design, there are a couple things I want to talk about with that.
Yeah, they did a couple Zazzle elements to keep you interested.
The first one of them, the hands and feet. What kind of dexterity do you think that a seal has in its hands and feet? It has like the anime drawing language of like a cat's paw to me. Do you think it's more of a flipper, or do you think it really is like a dog or cat?
I think it can certainly clap enthusiastically, similar to a real seal.
Maybe bop a ball through a ring.
Yes, I think it could certainly catch a ball between the two. I would say that given the information I have, I think that however seals can actually use their flippers is the same.
The answer to all of my questions for this one could just be, I don't know, how does a seal do it?
It can probably wiggle its three weird little fingers. I'll say that.
I also have always felt like it would have a very hefty punch or like a slap, slap.
That's true. I wouldn't want to get smacked by it. I do think it would have a lot of weight to the smack.
Also, it could definitely smack exactly the same with its feet, because this is like the monkey equivalent of an aquatic mammal, because its hands and its feet or flippers are like exactly the same.
Seals, the monkey of the sea. I'm glad that you bring up the tail, though, because I didn't notice this as a kid. It's interesting that this was a design choice, was that I did notice that the tail is always pointed up. I just never realized why. I always thought it was just to kind of give it some, you know, some differentiation in the sprite. But it is to kind of make it look like a geyser, which is pretty much the only bit of zizzle that you get.
Except it doesn't look like a geyser. It looks like somebody doing like a shadow puppet of a geyser.
Yeah, it's like a very poorly done. It reminds me of like when you would buy a car, I guess this would have been more in the 90s, but like when you would buy a typical car, like a sedan or maybe even a coupe, but not a fast one, and it would have like a stripe down the side or maybe a bit of flame, you know, but not a lot, but just like like a little zigzag on the side. This is to me that equivalent. We're giving you a little something, but it's not much.
I bring up the flippers looking so much, or the rear flippers looking so much like the front flippers, because seal has always kind of looked like some sort of missing link between like land mammals and whales or manatees.
Okay, like a middle evolution. Like it kind of got not stuck like
a
somewhere.
not like a Pokemon middle evolution. I
no,
mean
like a
real
scientific
world,
like a Darwinian evolution.
Yeah, we're going like reverse Tiktaalik here. I don't know what the name of those, like, you know what I'm talking about. The ones that look like giant rats that like went back into the water and became whales. This looks like
I thought you were going to say the middle transformation of an Animorphs. Remember those?
This is like the middle of the page where the face is really, really blurred and you're like, oh God, kill it with fire.
Yeah, where it's halfway between man and sea lion. This is like, we're there.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about for bio info?
I did want to talk about one funny Dex entry for the sole reason that it refuses to call the horn on its head a horn. Emerald Dex says, seal hunt for prey in frigid, ice-covered seas. When it needs to breathe, it punches a hole through the ice with the sharply protruding section of its head.
I'm guessing that means that... that is interesting. I'm wondering, so does
the
that mean...
The section of its head, known as the horn.
Do you think that it's not really a horn, and it's just like the shape of the skull, and it's still covered in fur and everything?
That's what I'm led to believe, because there is no difference between, like, the body and the horn, but it is still a horn. I mean, like, come on, what else would it be?
Yeah, now I'm imagining like it's just part of the skull. I mean, it is the same color as the rest of the fur and everything on it. Like, it's not exposed like a
rhino. It's definitely covered in the fur still.
Speaking of the fur, this is gonna sound really weird, but I always kind of thought that seal and dugong had the texture of like a dolphin.
Ooh,
like,
okay.
Why? Of course they have fur. They're going to be they're really going to be like the texture of like, you know, a seal or a sea lion or an otter or something like that. But growing up, I always thought they were kind of rubbery.
This is the thing. I don't know why, but I agree with you on dugong. Dugong, I always thought was very like slick and slippery.
Okay.
But for some reason, I thought that seal was fuzzy.
Do you think it's because
like
seal looks a lot more like a dog?
Yeah, it could be it. There's something to it where I feel like I could pet it. But yeah, by the time we get to dugong, it is slippery.
Yeah, seal really does seem, you'd think they would have gone more like doggish with it, or at least tried to like...
It's got the tongue out and stuff, I guess.
Do you think it's just panting all the time?
Yeah.
I just thought its tongue was like too big. You'd think for like living in a cold climate all the time, it wouldn't want its tongue hanging out.
Its tongue would have probably cracked off by now.
Yeah, or like gotten stuck to something.
Stuck to the undersea poles.
Just seals swimming around licking poles.
Well, moving on.
And moving on from that one, let's talk about the game a little bit. So this is a Seafoam Islands Pokemon.
Oh yeah, love Seafoam Islands.
I think this is like really our first one that's found there, and
I don't know, maybe that's why it seems cool, and that's why I would have thought we were going to get something more detailed.
I know, yeah. I should probably save it for the family, but since I'm saying it now anyway, I say before saying it. This always did kind of feel like a little more mystical. I don't want to say legendary or anything like that, but it almost had like somehow a bit of a mythical quality to it. And I think the Secret Islands.
I don't know why. It's like a step below a pseudo legendary. Somehow, yeah. In my brain, it's not a regular poke. It's certainly not world building. Somehow, it felt. Yeah, mystical, like it would be difficult to see.
Yeah, and this whole time we've been oogling over, like, random animals that just happen to get stuck in this world.
Yes.
Maybe that's why they're pseudo-legendary, because they really are actual real-world animals.
It's truly an animal.
So,
like, whoa.
I have a very odd and specific memory to this Pokemon.
Okay.
And it is game-related. At my college graduation, I took my old Game Boy Color, and I took it in my pocket. I was playing through Blue at the time. I did not feel like paying any attention in the ceremony. So throughout my entire college graduation, I just played Pokemans in the audience the whole time.
It's a good move.
And I, at the time, was going through the Seafoam Islands, and I remember catching a seal and like starting to use it and stuff like that. And so I always have this like very strong association between seal and my college graduation. Like, it is very strong. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about with like this poke almost having more of a meta discussion than the actual poke. Is it's so funny how these designs, that when you really go back and think about it, they're not particularly special. And they're not a standout poke, but to me, they stand out so much just because of what I was doing at the time when I made a memory with one.
No, and somehow, I mean, again, I'll get into it when we look at these cards and stuff, but yes, somehow they give off a mystical quality despite having nothing going on.
There's nothing extravagant or special about them other than, again, we've cracked it wide open. They are real life animals. But it's just something I love about Pokemon, that it's, with it being around for such a large part of my life, your life, and I know it's probably has the same interconnection and memories for you, you just come across these moments where seeing a seal or a dugong makes me think of college graduation and vice versa. If I think about college graduation, the first thing I'm thinking about is a seal. And it's just funny that like such a...
And it's always these seemingly random pokes. It's never your favorites. It's never the ones that are on your team. It's the seals of the world.
Yeah. I've been kissed by Arizona.
It's going
to be really hard to... I'm shocked we made it this long into it without any references to seal.
I do want to briefly bring up the anime debut.
Real quick, before we move into that, I have one last game note. Not so much an uncomfortable breeding pair, but just a weird one in Gen 8.
One to think about.
Arbok and Seviper. Like, they specifically
say, why would
out
a
snakes.
Snake breed with a seal? How would that work at all?
Is that how otters are made?
Oh my god.
Anyway, the anime.
Boom, PokeScience. So, Seal debuts in episode 7, which was called The Water Flowers of Cerulean City. I feel like it's not called that. Every source that I found called it. I feel like it was The Water Sisters of Cerulean City, but I couldn't find anything
like
to confirm this.
I would like to create a petition to change that to The Water Flowers of Time, a la The King of the Hill episode where Hank's truck breaks down when they're coming back from seeing the movie The Flowers of Time.
Well, you gave it away that this is a crossover episode. this is the episode where Ash is trying to get the Cascade Badge. Misty really does not want him to go to the city. So it's revealed that there are three sisters that are the gym leaders who are also Misty's sister, and that Misty is a gym leader as well. I couldn't remember the reason why they hate her. It's literally just because she's the youngest, so they just don't like her. That is it.
I totally get that.
That is the only reason.
Seal
is owned by the gym, and it has the badge in its mouth. So when Ash battles Misty instead of the sisters that, you know, they battle, the badge like comes out of Seal's mouth. And that is our introduction to Seal. And also, he gets the badge by defeating Team Rocket. He doesn't even beat any of the gym leaders in it.
Does that technically mean that the Seal was the gym leader?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he did not win. He did not technically win the first two matches that he got badges for.
And then he cheated a bunch after that, too.
He did a lot of cheating, a lot of releasing pokes. kind of just all over the place.
Let's talk about cards before we move on to Dugong. I have two of note here. Number one, we talk about this set all the time. Skyridge. What the hell is going on with that art?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I really wanted to talk about this. So, Skyridge, we didn't talk about the sprite too much, but this to me was very similar to the red and blue sprite. It's just like very zoomed in with that very silly, extra, like exaggerated, drawn on face.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We do normally make a note to point out when the sprites are good in the first gen of games. I think we need to do the opposite. Little rough for this one. I mean, they are the most accurate because red and blue can't be wrong.
It's certainly accurate, but I mean, all they had to do was draw a real life animal.
It also has a bit of a mustache. Like, I know they're trying to draw the, if you look at the back sprite, I know they're going for like the horn on the top and the tusks, but it looks like it has like this weird wisp of hair and like a twiddly mustache.
It does look like a fancy mustache. It kind of looks like a fancy mustache from the front too.
Yeah, it looks like it has like a really pretentious handlebar mustache.
All to get
mustache.
That like walrus face in.
The other card I wanted to talk about was Neo Destiny.
I'm just glad you didn't take the one that I want to talk about. So.
The reason I specified Neo Destiny is because the artwork in that one looks like the sad art that they would use as like a promo image for like a commercial to help fight global warming.
Oh no.
Cause it looks
in the arms of an angel.
Okay. I am going to send you a picture after this. I literally
of a
have
seal in, on a single block of ice.
Now in my notes, I have in the arms of an angel.
For only $1 a day, you can save this seal.
It just like, if you just replace it with like a polar bear and put it on there, it would totally look like the sad, like guilt tripping. We're not
pretty sad
climate denying over here on this podcast or anything like that. I'm just simply stating
we are only making fun of the sad commercial.
Yeah, we're only making fun of polar bears dying.
I was making fun of Sarah McLachlan.
I'm also making fun of Sarah McLachlan. Do you think? All right, we're going on a tangent here because nobody cares about seals. Sarah McLachlan to give away the rights to that song for free, right? Like, she can't be making money off of this. Otherwise,
I was
going to
say, what
ass.
Sort of royalty deal can you make with a charity organization? That's horrible.
If Sarah McLachlan's entire life is funded by sad animals at this point, like, she's got to feel miserable.
You're saying
about
she, like, she shows up in a brand new Ferrari and they're like, oh, did your new single take off? And she was like, yeah, I actually used it in an ASPCA ad. It really shot up.
Yeah, you should see the dogs they got for this one. Real abused. I mean, they looked awful.
Super sad. The commercial did really well.
Yeah, they got a cat that, like, its legs got run over by a car. I mean, man, I was rolling in the checks that day. It was great. Terrible.
So horrible.
Oh, like, she had to give that away for free, right?
I would hope so. Anyway. All right, well, the card that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to bring up Dragon Frontiers because this card is everything that we have already said about Seal. It's a Delta species that they made normal type. So they
somehow made it more boring.
A land of imagination, and they took a very fun set that was all about reimagining Pokemon in new exciting types, and they make it made in normal type.
They are confirming to me that it is just a regular animal in the Pokemon universe.
It is now especially just a straight up animal.
It's certainly living there. I guess this is more of a world building poke than we really thought and that I gave it credit for.
And I would never have thought of this as world building until I started researching. I was like, this is a mystical Pokemon.
No, I would have felt the same way. Speaking of, number 87, Dugong. The sea lion Pokemon again, even though it is a completely different animal again.
It's the sea lioner Pokemon.
It is water and ice type this time.
See, I knew it.
Sea lion, I knew it. This is our first ice type, right?
As far as I know, but...
Well, as far as Kanto folks, we have talked about Alolan Vulpix and Alolan Ninetales.
Yeah, there have been Alolan forms, but we won't count it because they do have later Dexnet numbers.
But this would theoretically be the first poke that you would come across. I mean, again, you're coming across this later than some of the other pokes.
It's pretty late.
In the Pokedex after this anyway, but you're...
I do feel like ice is always kind of a late stage typing anyways. I feel like you usually do the ice level later.
I feel like ice has such a cool aspect to it because it's the weakness of dragon.
Yeah, it's definitely the counter. And I think of it kind of in the real world sense too. If we're talking about the adventurer leaving their house, obviously there are tons of people in the world that live in a cold climate. But if you think about it, probably tons of the world, and especially, I don't know, Japan, US, Australia, the main countries that this was getting marketed to, did not live in a cold area.
Anything that's going to be found in an ice environment or a frozen tundra or whatever, that's like the least hospitable places on the earth. Like, of course, yeah, they're tough. The least traveled and everything like that. This evolves at level 34. Bio is kind of the same deal for this one.
Oh, this is exactly the same. There is only really one kind of cool moment, and that is the fact that dugong is named after dugongs, which is a type of manatee.
I have a question for you. Is that cool?
Well, no, but it's like the one...
Well,
like
you said it was cool.
This is as cool as it's going to get.
I wrote a Pokedex entry down for this one to exemplify truly the extent of how boring it is. The red and blue Pokedex entry. The very first one. We got to come out of the gate absolutely watching the pitch and not swinging at all here. Stores thermal energy in its body. Swims at a steady 8 knots, even in cold waters. Okay, so it's warm-blooded and it swims at a reasonable pace.
Is 8 knots a lot? How much is it?
So, I Googled how fast a dugong can swim. A dugong can travel at speeds up to 13 miles an hour, which is faster than 8 knots.
So this is a regular animal. This is it's a normal speed, regular body temperature.
Yes.
Animal.
Yes. 8 knots is 9 miles an hour.
Ooh, pretty fast.
Yeah. So basically, this crazy animal here is warm-blooded and swims slower than...
Maybe the kid was trying to calculate how much knots are and like was off by a decimal and was trying to do like he meant to say like 80 knots because he wanted it to be like a really crazy number.
That's another one where I'm reading it like it swims at a steady pace of 80 knots. Exactly what you're talking about. But yes. Instead, they're like...
Give us some Arcanine numbers.
It sure is slow.
Oh, it is quite slow. As I was saying about dugongs, though... So Christopher Columbus once wrote that he saw a mermaid, but it was actually a manatee. So he was not very good at identifying things. But the shape of dugong is supposed to be vaguely reminiscent of a mermaid to kind of like call back to the fact that people thought manatees were mermaids.
All right, couple points on this, and then I want to get into a greater discussion of this. I do really appreciate how... I love the change of the design in the fins for this one. I actually...
Yeah, they became slender, and it does look a little bit more fast with these fins.
Well, it's not. Spoiler alert, it's slow as shit.
It's eight knots. It's not.
It's going slower than an actual dugong. I do like the way that they changed it, and it does have a little bit of that reminiscence of that legend that you're talking about.
It is a little bit mermaid-y, because my first thought before I read this... was I thought it's more graceful looking. So they did kind of give you that look.
So the Ruby and Sapphire Pokedex references this. And I'm like, okay, good. At least this one we got one. Yeah, we get something that kind of references maybe a little bit of lore. It does state, the sight of this Pokemon sleeping on a glacier was mistakenly thought to be a mermaid by a mariner long ago. Okay, cool. We got a little bit of lore and everything like that. And then my mind just went off the rails. And I was like, dudes at sea were so goddamn horny.
So horny and so inaccurate because Christopher Columbus was saying how mermaids are uglier than he thought. I'm like, bro, just take a closer look. It's an animal.
I've seen a manatee. I went to a place in Florida.
They do like, not look like people.
No, not even close.
Maybe the people he was seeing.
Nobody was that well nourished.
He's like, this is the ugliest lady I've ever seen.
Did they just all need... glasses or something like
he was probably like nearsighted and also like really had a ton of scurvy, like no lemons.
Sometimes I just think about like explorers in olden times. They just like go out on the road and everybody's gross and nasty and none of them, like it was all dudes and like you should have just been hooking up with the other dudes. But of course, back then it was like, can't do that. So it's like, they're just staring at like whales and manatees.
Being like, whoa, check that out. I don't mean to get too political here, but yes, before wiping out an entire nation, he also misidentified a continent as well. So, couldn't see.
The dude wiped out a continent. But the real tragedy here is how bad he wanted to bang a manatee.
A manatee. He's like, get that thing up here.
Like, I think about sometimes, like, there's a mountain range in Wyoming that's called the Grand Tetons, which was explored by French people, which is French for the big boobs. Because there was just a bunch of horny dudes walking through, like, a cold valley, like, nice.
It's like Twin Peaks, am I right?
Like, dude, just get a little fondly in the tent.
Should have brought a ye old picture or a sketch with you. A
ye old flashlight.
Now, speaking of all of this, I do also have to bring up Gold Dex. Because the Gold Dex states, its streamlined body has little drag in water. The colder the temperature, the friskier it gets.
That's why they thought it was...
This Dex, written by Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, I was going to say, this one was actually not written by the 10-year-old. This one was written by the horny sailor.
Yes, the one that was actually written by, the professor or an adult. contribution.
Professor Oak was lost at sea for a while and got stuck on the Seafoam Islands and was like... Sup, ladies?
If you put them in colder water, they get friskier. Write that down, ditto.
He was also a subscriber of Get a Dit.
Yes, I've run a dit, yeah.
Well, last note for bio. Ultra Sun states that it looks for Pokemon that will become its prey, especially Wishiwashi. I know that we've confirmed in the past that Pokemon are definitely eating other Pokemon. It's been a while since we've had any that like straight up reference like, this Poke eats this.
Yeah, it has been a while since we got like a real named Pokemon.
Do you think that like... At some point, you're in a battle, you meet up with a new trainer, you throw out your dugong, and they answer with a wishy-washy, and it just eats it.
Awkward.
Yeah, what do you do in that scenario?
I don't know, because they try to make such a distinction between a trained Pokemon and an untrained Pokemon that they try to act like they become vegetarians. Yeah, they try to act like they are magically fully trained and totally chill the second you catch them, so... If we go by this logic, they're good to go. They will not do anything, but hard to say.
Do you think they're like those videos that you see where it's like the lady who tries to make her dog a vegan? Animals can't live like that. And the dog is just like, please help.
I don't know. They all eat, I don't even remember what they called them in the anime, but jelly donuts. That's what they call them. Because kids don't eat, what do they call it? Like the rice balls that have meat inside of them.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, kids don't eat those in America, or at least they didn't in the 90s, so they would say jelly donuts. So all trained Pokemon would just eat jelly donuts all day.
I guess, like, once you catch them, you just flip them over to human food or something.
Yep, so yeah, you have to eat burgers now, my guy.
Do they make, like, blue buffalo for Pokemon?
Yeah, that ultra-premium stuff. Well, you get them a fresh water out of the vending machine. It's usually fine.
Let's get into some game data. The red and blue beta name for this one was Manatee.
Interesting.
Same ballpark. I kind of like it, but I don't like it any more or less because it's basically the same thing.
I mean, dugong just sounds fun to say, and it is misspelled enough that you might not catch that they're just saying dugong.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't catch that dugong was a dugong. Kid.
As a kid, you were like, ah, yes, dugongs, the animal I know.
All right, you may have me there.
I literally remember finding out about dugongs being animals, and I'm like, oh, like the Pokemon.
Or birds, because they're not real either.
Well, no, birds are just in Pokemon.
Only in Pokemon, not in the real world.
No, they designed the drones to look like the Pokemon.
So in the game, dugong, it's a pretty decent all-rounder. It's got relatively good, well-rounded stats.
It's defensive focused, but it is, good stats overall.
Solid typing, but there's a really big reason why you wouldn't use one.
Yes.
It's Lapras.
Oh, well, yeah. It's outclassed by other water ice types.
It's just worse Lapras. Like all
this one's going to come down to, I don't know, your feeling, I guess. If you really love dugong, this is the same vibe. I'm going to end up repeating myself later on. Oh, you know.
Has anybody ever told you that their favorite animal is a dugong? What's the weirdest thing if somebody like answered, if you were like, oh, what's your favorite animal? What's the weirdest thing that somebody could come back with? Because dugong has to be up there.
Larva.
All right, I'll take it.
No, but this just, you reminded me of something that I will certainly end up repeating, but it's like how when you go to the power plant, it's nothing but electric types, but you're already there for the big electric type. So
yeah,
you're not going to catch one of these high level other ones that we'll mention later. So I won't say now. This is kind of the same deal. You're already about to go try and find a really cool ice type.
You're going to get that Lapras right around this time anyway.
Yeah, because they're all in the icy spot.
No, the Lapras you get from, when you're in the Silphco building. Oh, wait, I should save that.
Save it. I'll learn about it more one day.
That's the big Lapras in the room keeping you from potentially using it. And that's one of those things where it's like, it almost kind of sucks sometimes. There's some of these Pokemon where I'm like, I never would have used it because there's just such a clearly better option.
And that's the thing. And I mean, it's kind of a benefit and a detriment of Pokemon is there are so many kind of similar Pokemon out there at this point that you can take your pick. But at the same time, it makes it so there are usually clear favorites that everybody chooses.
Or it's something where you developed an attachment to it, kind of, you know, you're a large dugong fan.
And that's your thing, is you're the dugong guy.
Any anime or manga stuff you want to talk about for this one?
This is kind of just a cool continuation of the Seal arc. We see Seal again from episode 7 all the way over in episode 61, the Misty Mermaid. So in this episode, the Cerulean sisters have really low turnout at their gym stuff. So they want to do a show called The Underwater Ballet starring Misty and the various other water pokes. So Team Rocket attacks during the show and Seal attacks them and evolves into a dugong. Dugong beats them with an ice beam.
Oh.
And the sisters just say, like, oh, they never even thought of using Seal in a battle.
It's just been sitting there being the gym leader the entire time. They never even thought
to use
it.
It has literally just been hanging out. And they're like, oh, I didn't even realize the thing could fight.
I don't know. The way that you said Seal for that one, I'm now just picturing a Seal version of the Squirtle Squad, but it's called Seal Team 6.
Oh, my God. Now, I'm glad you brought up Seal again, because there was one thing I forgot that I just wanted to say, and this is very quick.
Oh, no going back. No backsies.
No, we're going back. In the manga, Pokemon Adventures, so we learned that Seal is the first poke that Lorelei owned, but I only bring this up because of the name of the chapter. We learned this information in Can You Diglett?
If there is ever an autobiography written about me, which as I say that, I realize I meant biography because I would have
you
to
can write,
it. If there is ever a biography written about me, I would like it to be called Can You Diglett?
Can You Diglett, the Ben Sword.
All right, well, let's talk about some cards to wrap it up and then touch on the family as a whole. I only have one to talk about, and that is Skyridge.
Ooh, let me pull it. Yeah, the Skyridge one is really cool.
The main reason I wanted to talk about it, the Hollow version is going for about $200 right now.
Whoa! Well, that's because we've pumped up the price of Skyridge cards.
Yeah, I don't know if... seriously. Big
we
Poke,
brought a lot of attention to Skyridge.
Big Poke, please drop the price of Skyridge and Aquapolis cards because this is getting out of hand. And I know you're doing this out of spite.
I want to be sponsored just by one Pokemon set. Like, I don't want to be sponsored by the card game. I want to be sponsored by Skyridge.
This episode brought to you by Aquapolis. Please send us some.
Please.
The attack that it has... It can just stop your opponent from attaching energy. So I don't know if it's like people were using it in decks. I'm not sure. But yeah, expensive card.
Yeah, I was not involved in the meta at this time, but I do like a Hollow Skyridge card. The only card I wanted to bring up was Misty's Dugong because it's jumping out of the water and it's just giving us like a really cool battle pose.
It's like kind of looks like a shrimp.
Wow, completely ruined my idea of a cool pose.
I mean, it like
now it just looks like a shrimp.
I get like it does. It is like jumping over a mountain.
It looks like it's
going to
do
that.
Something really good.
but it also kind of looks like a shrimp with wings.
And the card's ruined. All right, and it has vampire teeth, so that's kind
of
cool.
Well, they all have vampire teeth, but not all of them look like shrimp.
All right, well, the base set, I don't even like this card anymore.
The base set one is super chunky.
I really loved the base set, and when I first got it, I did think that it was a rare, which, again, just leads you into the whole mysticism of Dugong.
Which I think is a really good segue here to talk about the family as a whole.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to share the Reddit's favorites poll, and then I want you to hit me with your thoughts to wrap it up here. Because honestly, most of what I got to say, I've already put out there, so I don't really have too much to add to it. Reddit's favorites poll, Seal came in at 373, Dugong at 242. That's honestly about where I would have expected him anyway. That's on, it might be even on the high side of what I expected, but any of the Gen 1 stuff, it's shocking when they get below that 400 range.
No, I mean, for a Pokemon with absolutely no backstory, and I'm saying none, no backstory, no gimmicks,
except for
a Pokemon
horny sailors.
With nothing, yes, except for horny sailors, it is surprising how well-liked this Pokemon is, at least to me. I remember really thinking it was cool, still think it's cool, really thought it was very powerful and had high regard for something that was literally just being a real life animal, nothing else.
It is really interesting in revisiting. There's so many that jump out as being lazy or uninspired designs. I mean, Pidgey, Spearow, Ekans, stuff like that. And you don't think about Seal and Dugong in it, but they are super uninspired. I mean, the design
And I don't
is like,
consider their designs uninspired at all, but really, they probably are.
But they are. And I mean, even the evolution, all that happens for the evolution is the flippers get a little bit cooler.
Elongated.
And its tongue goes into its mouth.
Yeah, and its mouth is just now, I don't know, the same color as its body. That's it.
Let's talk about the name really briefly here for both of them.
Animal and other animal.
Yeah, all they did was, it's not even a pun.
It's just a misspelling. It's just like when you want to name your band and you want to use the word, but so you just switch the letters around a little bit. Like Korn.
Yeah, they're just a new metal band from the late 90s or early 2000s.
Yes, Dugong.
It's a slight variation of spelling. Even the naming is super uninspired for these, but these are one of those pokes where they, I guess just because of where they fall in the game, they seem more memorable than I really would have pegged them for. If they came out in a modern day generation, probably wouldn't
be
like about them.
Boo. This is truly the magic, and maybe it's just the nostalgia of Pokemon, where even these incredibly basic, where seemingly no thought put into them, Pokemon have such a strong place in our heart and feel so significant.
I have such a strong association for this poke with my college graduation, and it's not like I was graduating college in the 90s or anything like this. I was playing a game that had come out a long time before.
We were already up to Gen 4 or 5 by then.
Something like that. I think we may have even been later.
Because I remember playing Diamond in college. Or maybe after. Who knows anymore?
I want to say it was in the ballpark of Gen 6, but it's just, these are such a weird instance of something being so memorable and feeling so important when it just wasn't just because of what you're talking
there
about.
There is nothing going on.
Yeah, just because of that idea of the nostalgia and just how it happened in our lives. Well, that's all I got for the Seal and Dugong family.
Yeah, that poke was ice cold. Coming up next, we have High Pokethetical, and we are going to rank our top songs from Pokemon games. It's time for High Pokethetical. Today, a top three, we rank our top three songs from the Pokemon games. So, this can pretty much be from any Pokemon game, I guess. It's just whatever.
This is a tough one.
Strikes your fancy.
This is a tough one. There's been so much good music throughout these games.
Yeah.
Like going
Pokemon
back
has always had a good soundtrack. Always.
It was kind of tough trying to narrow it down for this one.
I definitely had some standout tracks, and unfortunately it's going to be biased towards games I played. But
of course,
obviously games I didn't play still have very good soundtracks.
Well, how about I start us off? Number three, I'm going to go super basic here. I like really thought about not including this one, but I have to. It's the Red and Blue intro.
Oh, that's an incredible pick.
I mean,
I was going to pick the theme, but I didn't want to pick the theme. But It is, I mean, it's truly incredible. And
as
talk
soon
about
as you
that
get
instant
that,
nostalgia.
It's just, you know exactly what you're getting into. It's building that sense of adventure. And
it gets
after,
your blood pumping.
I thought about not including it because of how basic of a choice it is, but...
No, so I have some complete basic B choices.
Listener, by the way, I wish that we could play these tracks for you, but Big Poke is already out to get us and scalp us on cards. I can only imagine what they'd do if we started using licensed
intellectual I will try to
property.
Say the names so that you can Google them.
All right, option two, I will awkwardly sing them into the microphone. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
number two, I'm going the complete other direction here for a recent one. And this is the Wild Area music from Sword and Shield.
Oh, okay.
It is all a right. long track. There's a lot of different sections, so I know it's a bit of a cheater pick in that regards. But on its own, it's beautiful music. It also has really good influences from a UK setting. I don't know what the right word is. The British
Isles. They wanted it to be United Kingdom.
Yeah, the United Kingdom, thank you. It has good United Kingdom influences. You get, there's bagpipes in areas. There's such a sense of adventure and wonderment in the music. And as soon as you walk into that wild area, it feels like it builds the scope for that space.
The wild area was thrilling. It was the most thrilled I had been playing Pokemon in a while.
That's the other thing. I wanted to use that one as well because I had a tough time choosing between that. And the gym music in Gen 8 was really good as well. But the music for the wild area just signifies such a new step for the series as well and such a sense of adventure.
Oh, 100%. And I'm glad that they use that area as mechanics moving forward, and hopefully we'll continue to see it in the later gen.
And number one, this one, and I have no...
And yet, I think I know what it is.
I have no good reason to pick it. it is... The surfing theme from Gold and Silver.
Oh, yeah. The surfing theme is so good. It is an incredible theme.
I actually, there is a loop of that on YouTube. And once, it probably once a year, I will take my dog on a walk and just listen to the whole loop.
And just listen to the surfing theme.
Hours of just surfing on my pokes. I don't know if I just did an excessive amount of surfing as a kid, but I just think about that song all the time.
It was just that gnarly out there, yeah.
It's so peaceful.
It's just a good song.
All right, what do you have for me? Number three.
All right, well, in a very rare turn of events, I prepared extra songs, and we did not have any doubles.
Yes!
So I would like to actually add two songs as honorable mentions before into my three.
Okay, please. I mean, I kind of did the honorable mention with the Galar June
music.
Yes,
there
as
are
well.
Just too many songs. So at five, we have the Max Lair from Gen 8, the Crown Tundra, a.k.a. Right. The Funk Tunnel.
This song. I was like, I don't know if I want to toss that one out there, but I do love the Funk Tunnel
music.
No,
this song, it really, really sets the mood in a way that you are not expecting at all.
It's so different.
You think that you're going to get epic, and instead you get a jazz fusion song. All right, now at four, Jubilife Village from Legends Arceus. So this is... the first music that you hear, and something about the arrangement just makes me feel like at home. It's a very cozy sound.
Yeah.
And listening back, it is somehow already nostalgic. It's the notes. Something about the notes are nostalgic, even though it just came out.
I'll agree with you on that one. It's a really good, that song does a really good job at setting the scene of you're back to the safety of the village.
Yeah. It's just the vibe. So now, my real top three.
Yeah, okay.
I had to bring in Spikemuth Gym from Gen 8.
Okay.
You got to go back and listen to this song. This is it's chill, but it's active, and it is just a house track. It is a house beat with a guitar solo, very 80s, and it completely is capturing this vibe of running around through
the
back alleys of the city.
The grunge concert kind of deal?
Yes, when you're running up to the concert to eventually face... Here's, it's just such a vibe. And talk about something that felt different from what we had seen before.
Number two, what do you got?
Now we are entering basic B territory.
Yes.
Number two, we have, from Gen 1, we have Lavender Town. Lavender Town is so creepy, but it also captures that feeling of sadness and like that mourning feeling, which I feel like is the entire town. That's the mission you're about to go on. It's everything that the town has to offer.
What you're saying is you picked the theme related to ghosts.
Yes, this is the ghost theme. It's very creepy. And it even has ghost stories. Like, there are urban legends about this song drove kids to commit suicide, which is not true.
No.
There are also claims that this song was giving people headaches, which of course it was. They probably listened to it for like 8 hours.
Probably, yeah.
I think this whole game was giving kids headaches, to be honest.
Dude, yeah.
And then there's, of course, cool like remixes that you can listen to of this song where people put it to beats and things like that.
All right, I'll give you that one.
So number one, again from Gen 1, we have the cycling theme. The cycling theme just perfectly captures this feeling of a carefree attitude.
I don't know how they do such a good job of like getting that sense of adventure or that sense of carefree.
You truly feel like you're riding your bike. You're just like, I'm just a little kid on a bike. And because it doesn't matter where you are, when you turn on the bike, you hear the bike theme. So even if you were in a scary spot, you can bypass it and listen to the bike theme.
I feel like you and I kind of have that same number one answer in the bike theme versus the surfing theme.
Yes.
They're relatively similar in terms of the music itself, but just that like idea of it's, you're always coming back to that same peaceful theme. And it's like, I don't know. It just gives you such a like happy vibe no matter where you are.
Yeah. The best theme seemed to be the one where it like resets you. It grounds you from whatever chaotic area you were in prior.
There's just so much good music. And it was actually, when I was putting this list together, I ended up going back through and just listening to a lot of the different songs. They're all on
YouTube.
It just
made me listen
stuff,
to the soundtracks. So,
listener, enjoy them. And that is going to wrap it up for episode 37, where we talked about Seal and Dugong. Find us on Instagram and TikTok. We are at Pokedex Pathfinders. We will post fun videos, pictures, teasers for the upcoming episodes. Send us an idea for a hypothetical. We still have some stickers, and we will give you a shout out on the show, and we will send you some stickers and possibly some cards if we like you enough, which we do, listener.
And hey, the weather's getting cold. Use that protrusion on your head that's definitely not a horn to hit that like button or that subscribe button.
And if you happen to come across any slutty little dugongs out there, just
keep on sailing over to wherever it is.
Yeah, just keep on sailing back to, keep on listening to Pokedex Pathfinders and ignoring that they're out there. And like I said earlier, just if you're out there on the quest and just a bunch of dudes on the boat, just get a little fondly. It's all good. Thanks for listening. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
See ya.